And now it's time for the Northern Storyteller. Hello, I'm Ellen Hitcher. Today I'll be reading two stories from the book Athabaskan Stories by Alice Boone. The Loon and the Blind Man. A long time ago, there lived a man in the village near the mouth of Willow Creek. Just behind the village, along the foothills, were lakes. Here the villagers hunted for their moose. The lakes always had good fish and many ducks. The man enjoyed life here with his wife and baby boy. He worked hard making a good living for his family. A great hunter he was. When he went hunting and fishing, he would always return with something. The villagers were amazed with every shot he took with his bow and arrow. He was always on target. He would kill a moose with every shot. Even when game was scarce and the weather was bad, he would put his snowshoes on and snowshoe many miles and return with furs and food for his family. As time went on, the man noticed that his eyesight was not as good as it used to be. Before he realized it, he was blind and old. He worried about his family. His young son, now age 8, was too young to care for them. The blind man could see a little outside on a bright sunny day, but inside and at night he could not see anything. So his young son would lead him around everywhere he went. Times were getting harder and harder for them. Many of the people from the village had been giving them food and whatever they could spare. Unknown to the village people, the woman had been mean to her blind husband. She'd been starving him for a long time. The people had been giving her all the food because her husband was blind and could not hunt anymore. She cooked the meat, fish, and berries for herself and the boy. She would give her husband the leftover bones with very little meat. She thought since he was blind, he'd never know. The blind man thought that times were hard and food must be scarce. One day he asked his wife if they could move up the creek a few bends from the village. Here he thought they could find small game to live on. They had just finished putting up their camp when his wife asked if they could go hunting for rabbits or a spruce hen. He said to his wife, "Well, I'm blind and cannot walk in the woods. I've not gone into the woods for a long time." She said, "Well, the boy and I will guide you." So they walked and walked way off into the woods. Just then he heard a noise. "Listen," he said to his wife and son. There the noise was again. Listening closer, he could tell there was a moose feeding on some willows. He said to his wife, "Guide me closer. It's a moose feeding." But the blind husband and crept closer and closer. Now he could see the moose. It was a bright day, and he could see a little. There in front of him, he saw a dark figure. "That's the moose," he thought. He took his bow and arrow, aimed carefully, and shot at the dark figure. "Did I hit the moose?" he asked his wife. She sounded angry. "No," she said, "you didn't even come close." "Wait," he said, "I know the sound when an animal is hit with an arrow. I heard that sound." "You did not hear any sound," she said, "and let's keep hunting before it gets dark," she said, guiding him. They walked and walked. He thought it was strange they were walking so far. Just then she said, "Here, sit down by the stump and rest. The boy and I will walk around and look for berries while you rest." She took the boy and went home, telling the little boy that they would come back for their father after he rested. At camp, she quickly got things ready to go back and cut the moose up. She got busy and built a rack to hang the meat. After a while, the blind man began to suspect she'd left him in the woods to die. He could not see anything. Trying to move around, he got down on his hands and knees. He would crawl along the ground. When he got tired, he would rest. He was tired and thirsty. It was getting getting cooler and damp now. It's night now, he thought. I have to try and sleep. But he did not sleep much that night. By morning, he was very thirsty. All I could find water to drink. He would be able to live a few days until someone could find him. Just then, the blind man heard a loon. He knew the lake would be in that direction and water to drink. He crawled in the direction of the sound. Each time he heard the loon, he would crawl closer and closer until finally he reached the lake. Feeling his way, he crawled to the edge and felt the wet grass and stones and came to the water. He put his hand down and began to drink. And when he finished drinking, he sat on the beach and waited, wondering what he should do next. Just then the loon swam towards him. "What's the trouble, old man?" So the old blind man told the loon his story. "Here," said the loon, "come with me. I'll help you. Put your head under my wing." As the old blind man did so, the loon started back into the lake and began swimming. And then the loon dove underwater. When they came up, the loon said to the old blind man, "Open your eyes and tell me if you can see anything." "Oh, I can make out the shoreline, but not too good," said the old blind man. And once again, the loon did the same thing. He swam around the lake, and this time he dove with the old blind man, staying underwater longer than the first time. From the surface, the old blind man could see everything clearly. Thanking the loon, the man said he must look for his wife and son. He went back to the camp where they were living. He came stumbling into camp, pretending he was still blind. The little boy was very glad to see him, but his wife was mad and wondered how he ever found his way home. The old man said, "I'm thirsty. Give me a drink of water." When the little boy offered to get water to his father, the woman said, "No, I'll get the water myself." Brought the water to him. He looked at the water. It was green and full of bugs. He pretended to drink the water. When his wife was not looking, he poured the water out on the ground. At mealtime, she was cooking big, thick, juicy ribs. When she and the boy finished eating, she threw her husband the bones. Then she noticed each time she went for a walk, she would bring back more meat, giving him the bones to eat. One day he followed her. As he got closer to the bend on the creek, he could see a drying rack. There, his wife was drying the meat from the moose he killed when he was blind. She was taken by surprise. "How did you get here?" she asked. "I can see just as well as you can," he said. He turned to his little boy and asked him if he wanted to go with him. "Yes," said the little boy. So the two of them left her and moved back to the village. When he arrived at the village, the people were surprised. "How did he get his eyesight back?" So he told the story about how his wife had treated him and the loon helped him. The people of the village felt he did the right thing by leaving his wife. Always the old man and his son made it a point to be kind to the blind, poor, and the old by helping and sharing with everyone in the village. The Raven and the Whale. A long time ago, there lived a big whale near the island. No one dared to go near him. They were afraid of this big whale. One day a stranger came to the island. It was the Raven who had heard about the big whale. He decided to watch him for a few days. This way he could find a way to trick the big whale. Thinking of all the meat he could have, the Raven was trying to find ways to kill the big whale. He had an idea. One day he called to the big whale at the surface, "Swim closer to the shore. I have something to tell you. Did you know we were relatives?" "No, you with the skinny, scaly legs and feet. I'm not a relative of yours." "Oh, yes, you are, and that's why I'm here. I've come a long way to prove this to you. Our throats are shaped the same." The Raven went on telling the whale how their throats were shaped and that this was proof that they were related. He told the whale to swim closer and to open his mouth, because he wanted to look down his throat, and then he would be able to tell for sure if they were related or not. The chippy raven soon had the big whale opening his mouth. "Why, dear," said the raven, "I still cannot see too well yet." So wider and wider the big whale opened his mouth. Before the big whale knew what had happened, the chippy raven flew into his mouth and down his throat. Once in the whale's stomach, the raven unpacked his pack, a knife, and some wood. Pleased with his pack, the raven started living inside of the whale, eating on the choicest of his insides. With the wood in his pack, he built a fire, cooking and eating as he pleased. The whale pleaded with the raven, telling him to eat what he wanted, but not to touch his heart. The raven promised he would not cut at the heart. Then, one day, the whale felt the water getting shallower and commented on it. "Good," said the raven, "we're getting closer to the shore." Remembering what the whale said about his heart, the raven drew out his knife and cut at the whale's heart. All of a sudden, the whale ran right up onto the beach, and out of the water, the whale died. Next morning, as the raven was eating inside the ribcage, he heard a voice, and he could hear the people as they were cutting the whale's stomach open. When the stomach was cut open, the people noticed something black fly out and out of sight. After cleaning himself, the raven went back to the beach where the people were busy cutting up the whale. He told him he was just passing by when he saw them on the beach. They told him about the black thing that had flown out of the whale's stomach. The raven said the black thing was a very bad sign. "You'd better not eat any of the meat." The people agreed it did not look good and left the meat on the beach. While visiting with the people at the village, the raven ran across his nephew, the blackbird. He asked his nephew to come to the beach with him. There on the beach was a dead whale. The raven was more than happy to have all of the meat to himself. He told his nephew, first of all, "Let's make some oil. We'll work together. In no time, with the two of us working, we should have all the oil and meat we need." The little blackbird, pleased with the good food, worked hard and long making oil from the fat. When it came to work, the raven would find some excuse to go hunting. The little blackbird kept busy cooking the fat and pouring the oil into the tube. The tube was very long, and at the end was a large container for the oil. It seemed strange to the little blackbird that the container never filled up. When the raven made an excuse and left again, the little blackbird decided to check along the tube for any leaks. There, at the end of the tube, where the container should be, was the raven. Lying on his back, his eyes closed, he was drinking the oil as fast as it was being made. No wonder the container never got full. The little blackbird could not believe his eyes. How could his uncle be so mean? It made him very angry. He grabbed the raven and dragged him towards a high cliff. He planned to throw the raven down the cliff. As they were approaching the cliff, the raven said, "You're mad and plan to kill me. I made a wish that after I die, you will miss me and wish I were alive. By sunset, you'll miss me so much you'll be crying." "No, I won't," said the little blackbird, and down the cliff he threw the raven, breaking him in many small pieces. Feathers scattered all over the cliff. That afternoon, at sunset, the magic power of the raven went to work. The little blackbird was very sad. Looking at the red sunset, he began to cry. "Oh, I wish I'd never killed my uncle." Taking a basket, he went back to the cliff. "If I could only find all the pieces and the feathers, I could put them in the basket. I'll sing a magic song to bring the raven back to life." After picking all the pieces he could find, making sure he did not miss a feather, he began to swing the basket and sing the magic song. He heard a weak squawk. Looking in the basket, the raven was sitting up, but only for a few minutes. Then he fell over and died. A feather was missing, thought the little blackbird. He rushed back to the cliff and searched carefully under every twig and knot. Then all at once he saw that caught behind the twig was a feather. The little blackbird picked up the feather. Being careful not to lose it, he hurried back to the basket, dropped the feather in with the raven, and began his magic song again. This time, when the raven sat up, he looked as he always did. He was alive again. Happy, they went back to making oil together. You've been listening to stories from the book Athabaskan Stories by Alice Bloom, published by AMU Press. Northern Storyteller is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. Our program is coordinated by Ron Inouye. The executive producer is Carla Tanella, and I'm Ellen Hitcher. Thank you.